Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. The anticipation of an influx of workers to rural western South Dakota to build the proposed Keystone XL pipeline has resulted in a $1.3 million grant to expand services related to preventing and responding to sexual assault and sex trafficking in the region. Here to tell us more, Dr. Bridget Diamond Welch is a research scientist for the USD Sanford School of Medicine in the Department of Family Medicine. Dr. Diamond Welch, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us today, Krista Herron-Graber. She's the executive director of the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault, also known as The Network. Krista, thanks to you for joining us as well.
Yes, thank you.
Bridget, I wonder, to start off with, connect the dots for listeners. Why does an influx of workers for the pipeline lead to a need for increased services related to sexual assault and sex trafficking?
Sure. There's a couple things that go on when you have a pipeline in a particular area. If you look at the map of where this pipeline is going to go, the western part of our state, it actually goes through a part of our state that doesn't have a large population, which means that what you're having is a lot of workers that are coming into an area that doesn't have an infrastructure built to deal with that population. And so what we know is that anytime there is some extraction going on or that there is a boom town around an oil field, there is an increase of violence in the area in general and against women and girls in particular. In fact, the United Nations did a special report on this and talked about the dangerous, particularly to indigenous women and girls along in these areas. And again, if you look at the pipeline, it's running parallel to the river, and it bisects or goes very close to several of our sovereign nations. And so we know that we have a population in this rural area that are likely to be affected. And so with that, we wanted to do a response to get out in front of the problem before a problem could emerge.
Mm-hmm. And remind us, who is this grant from?
It's out of the Department of Justice Office of Violence Against Women.
Okay. Krista, outline for us the communities that are involved in this grant. There's a pretty long list of them.
Absolutely. So we have multiple grant partners that are from various communities along the pipeline area. So we're working with Communities Against Violence in Lemon, South Dakota, Missouri Shores Domestic Violence Center in Pierre, Missouri Valley Crisis Center in Chamberlain, Sacred Heart Center in Eagle Butte, Sacred Shawl in Martin, Artemis House in Spearfish, where all women are honored, Rapid City, Winter Resource Center in Winter, White Buffalo Calf Women's Society in Mission, also working with Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Law Enforcement, as well as the tribal law enforcement in Rosebud, the Beadle County State's Attorney's Office, as well as Avira and their e-care to ensure that we have appropriate medical response for forensic medical examinations if that need would arise, mm-hmm. As well as the Center for Prevention of Child Maltreatment, and of course, then USD.
Right. Krista, for folks who aren't familiar with the work that the network does throughout the state, bring us up to speed on the network and what their involvement is going to be with these grant partnerships.
Absolutely. So the South Dakota Network is a statewide coalition, and we work on issues of domestic violence and sexual assault, and of course, other issues that overlap into violence through the lifespan. And we do that by working with partners, shelters, crisis centers, and others across our 66 counties and our 9 tribal nations. And so the network is the grantee, which means that we will receive the funds directly. We will work with our subrecipient partners. Those partners are some of the individuals that I just mentioned. We will coordinate services, work directly with the Office of Violence Against Women to ensure that we are following all the grant guidelines. And so our role is really to facilitate and administer this project to ensure that it is meeting all the objectives that we submitted to the Office of Violence Against Women to receive the grant.
Mm-hmm. Bridget, you talked about knowing that there's a precedent for these issues of sexual assault and sex trafficking becoming more prevalent in areas related to pipeline construction. Walk us through how long this process took and everything that went into applying for this program.
I was trying to remember back. So I think I became aware of the grant early last fall. Hmm. And in that, started talking to Krista about the need for it, and looking at the map and where the pipeline was going and the need that we had to have a sexual assault response in this area. And we began talking about currently where they already have, our state already has services and where those holes in services are, and finding that those services are, the holes are basically along where this pipeline is going to go. It's a fairly rural area, so it doesn't have a lot of service provision in it. And then figuring out and sitting down really with a map with Krista and talking about, well, who would the partners be, and drawing out that map about who would need, and she gave you the whole list of everyone that's involved. It's a long list.
Right.
So we had to map out where were the services already, and then how far, who could extend those services to this area that isn't covered. And then we approached all of those individuals to see if they would come aboard to expand their services so that there was no longer expand their services there so there's no longer a gap. We also plotted where all the hospitals are that provide sexual assault nurse examinations from a sane nurse, someone who's gone through the program or frequently they're through this Avera eSane. And we noticed, again, there's a hole or a gap in our state really in that northwest corner. And so approaching Avera and talking about finding out if we could expand eSane services and so that there wouldn't be that gap. So it was just, it's a lot of conversations when you write a grant. It's looking to see what is needed and then finding out who are the people who can provide those services and then developing a package. And I think it took probably about 6 months. Is that about right, Krista, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wow. Krista, I think this question would be best directed towards you. When we're talking about this grant goes both for expanding those services to respond to these issues, but also to prevention. What does prevention look like when we're looking at situations of sexual assault and sex trafficking?
Well, I think prevention would look like having the information and resources available for awareness to provide awareness about what is sexual assault, what mm-hmm. is sex trafficking, to try to prevent. But also part of prevention is about risk management, which means I'm sure that there's already discussions about safety and security and during the different camps where they'll be housing construction workers. But also we want to talk about risk reduction as we look at part of the prevention is looking at where there's risk. So we've looked at those rural and remote areas of the state that do not have physical victim services available. So we are creating services that will be available to try to address those risk factors immediately, and then try to create protective factors by creating services.
Hmm. The Keystone XL pipeline, the timeline for that pipeline seems to be fairly consistently in flux because of different legal aspects of that. Does the timeline of the pipeline's construction impact your work implementing these services?
Well, it could impact our implementation of services. The grant was initially awarded to be 30 months, starting mm-hmm. April 1st, but because of the changes that we've seen in our country and in our state with due to COVID-19, it's already been extended an additional year. And so we have quite a bit of time to really consider how to best move ahead with this project. So it's going to be really fit all of the objectives that we have for the project. So we'll start monitoring the construction of the pipeline and how that applies to our project, but we can still move ahead with meeting with our partners and developing services and being available and ready to start the delivery of this work when it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Krista, I wonder if you can outline for us. We talked about the prevention side of things, and then also responding. I think people might just automatically assume response looks like one or two particular things. Oh, what do response services look like?
Well, we're still talking about that, but generally I can say that the response will be that some of our partners that will have an advocate, either a full-time or a part-time advocate, that they will be able to respond. So there'll be information that will be distributed in those areas of the state where victimization could occur, where there's services that could be needed. So they would be able to respond if somebody is needing their assistance. We have funding for transportation. We'll be working, as I mentioned before, with Avera's e-care network to look at the medical response. And then we also have funding set aside for emergency services for victims and survivors as needed to meet their needs.
Mm-hmm. Bridget, in the research that you've done on this topic, what would you see or anticipate to be markers of success through this program?
So markers of success would include being able to provide services, having people report when there is an issue, and so we actually shouldn't see an increase in reporting, an increase of people coming forward when these kind of crimes are committed, and knowing that they will get a positive response. We should see better outcomes for survivors because they will be able to access these resources, and so there should be lower rates for those survivors of things like PTSD and other types of long-term impacts. All of those are the kind of things that we'll be looking for as this project rolls forward.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Bridget, more about the aspects of research in this area, because it may be easy for people not to understand how, in many ways, epidemic sex trafficking and sexual assault, both related to pipeline construction and just overall, might be, especially in rural areas.
So the research on this particular topic is really still new. There are things that we know about human trafficking in general, although this is particularly on sexual assault. There will be trafficking components as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot that is currently known about how that operates within a state or within a location. Frequently you say sexual assault and people think about people moving people to these pipeline areas, which is not necessarily what occurs. Instead, what you have is an increase of in demand. So you might have trafficking that goes on within that area. Within that area. So research then would be looking at possible people moving in or circuits being created for those trafficking, but also people in the local communities who become vulnerable to being trafficked would be another area to look at. So those are some of the things that we'll be looking at examining. But again, there's not tons that is currently known.
Right. Krista, for folks who are interested in following the progress of this work or otherwise being involved, where's the best place for people to find information or stay up to date on what's going on?
Absolutely. So they can call our office at any time. The phone number is 605-731-0041 and ask for Krista at the South Dakota Network. Or they can visit our website at www.sdnafvsa.com.
Great. My guests have been Dr. Bridget Diamond Welch, a research scientist for the USD Sanford School of Medicine, Department of Family Medicine. Dr. Diamond Welch, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, Krista Heron-Graber, Executive Director of the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. Krista, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.